It's Your Health Radio, a special podcast series presented by Henry Mayo Newhall Hospital. Here's Melanie Cole.
Many people don't realize the importance of staying up to date on adult vaccinations. There are some essential vaccines that every adult should consider. Whether you're unsure what vaccines you might need or even unsure about COVID in today's landscape, we're here to offer clear, practical advice to help you stay protected and informed. Welcome to It's Your Health Radio with Henry Mayo Newhall Hospital. I'm Melanie Cole, and joining me today is fan favorite, Dr. Anirudh Rai. He's a primary care physician at Henry Mayo Newhall Primary Care. Dr. Rai, always such a pleasure to have you with us. So let's start with why adults should really continue to think about vaccinations. We don't tend to as we get to be adults and after college, but there are some that we need to think about as we get older, yes?
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure to be on board the show to kind of give more information out. And as for vaccines, it is something that has been quite in the news these days, especially with COVID. But it is important to understand that as we get older, our immune system also what we call senesces, meaning it gets a little bit weaker as we get older as well. Generally, to give you an idea, a little bit of a history, when you're first born, you're generally given quite a bit of vaccines, and that's just generally to protect the baby. And that's to kind of make sure that you're developing well and your immune system is having the right tools to fight any kind of viruses, particularly actually bacteria. And that's the general idea of these vaccines when they were first invented to protect the infants, because there was a lot of infant deaths that were happening initially. And thankfully, we have these tools. Now, as we become adults, it's just as important to have our immune system up to date and honestly up to par with these new bacteria that are learning about our immune system and that are just coming into the pathological world as well. And one important one that we want to talk about, or a couple of them actually, we can start off with the easy one, which is the pneumonia shot. Generally, when you're a kid, you get your pneumonia shot, you're doing good, and that's to protect you as an infant. But when you're an adult, your immune system is not what it used to be. Typically, we found out these vaccines, they have an immune response to up to 5 years, and then it kind of wanes. And when we get older, our immune system, again, is not what it used to be, and it does need a little bit of help to help protect it. Generally, when we're 65, we do recommend getting a high-dose pneumonia vaccine. Let me reiterate, a pneumonia vaccine as an update, a booster, best way to describe it. And the best way this works is it gives your immune system an extra response to remember these strains. Nowadays, we do have new vaccines in the market, particularly when we were younger, we have the pneumonia 15 and the 13. Nowadays, we have the 20, and it is something that we're learning more about, and that is an important vaccine to have. And this is just one of them. The other one is the shingles shot, and I'm sure everyone knows about shingles. They know a family member who has shingles, and it is something that I would not want anyone to have, honestly, and we could delve more into that as well. The shingles, when it first came out, I believe it was around 2009, the first one was the Zostavax. And we found out that this vaccine, it was made in a very old-fashioned way where we have the virus, we attenuate it, meaning we give it to different organisms, particularly mice or rabbits, and have the immune system develop and weaken the virus. And when we get it, we inject it into humans to get that immune response. We found out, actually, recently, that this vaccine is not as effective as what we have in the market today, which is the Shingrix. Now, this vaccine gives you really good protection against the shingles virus. Typically, the studies say that the first shot, it's a two-part shot, and you get that around the age of 50, and it gives you approximately 90% protection, which is great. But the second shot gives you about 99% protection. So the Shingrix shot is something I would recommend all my patients above 50, because it is proven to be effective against shingles, and it's something that you would not want to have. Effectively, they say that even some studies say that one out of three people will get shingles eventually in their lifetime. So it is one of the vaccines that all insurance covers, and it is extremely important to understand how this works. The issue with that is the next day you might feel a bit knocked out. You might get little body aches and chills, and this is the nature of this type of vaccine. Unlike the previous one, which is the Rotavax, or the Zostavax, sorry, it is a non-live attenuated, meaning that it is safe to give to immunosuppressed patients, patients who have transplants. It is a very safe vaccine compared to the prior one, which tend to have a lot more side effects and not as effective. So if you have any questions about your vaccines, talk to your primary care doctor and get more information, because nowadays people tend to be a bit more cautious about vaccines in general. These are some of the two vaccines that we know about for adults.
As someone who had the shingles vaccine, two doses actually, and my mother had shingles and it took the vision from her eye. So I've told all of my brothers and sisters, that's an important one to get as we get older. Another one I have a question for Dr. Rai is tetanus. So you mentioned pneumonia, you mentioned shingles. Those are both important. Tetanus is something we have to kind of keep up with. I mean, we got it when we were little in the DTaP, but do we get that again as we get older?
For tetanus, I would recommend yes. Generally, the lifespan of tetanus, they say, is about 10 years. The big concern about tetanus is generally we don't have a cure for it. The vaccine is particularly the only treatment for it. So it's something that you do need, definitely do get it. And we definitely recommend this for patients who are around, let's say, hardware, around nails, they get puncture injuries. That's something we would recommend because we know that this organism likes to live on essentially the tips of points. They like to live on these kind of edges of those points. And once you get infected, there is no cure for it. Thankfully, the vaccine is there to give ton of protection so far. I've not seen one tetanus case in my career, thankfully. And it is something that I would definitely recommend every 10 years, especially if you're on those high environments that involve nails, a lot of hardware. If you're doing work around the house, you get a scrape by a nail, you stepped on a nail. These are some places where we would recommend getting updated on the tetanus. Now, there's a little bit of nuance on the tetanus because there's two forms of it. There's the Tenovac, which is the alpha pertussis, I believe, which is another organism that we can get. As you're a kid, you get the Tdap and the Dtap, and that's usually where you have the tetanus and the other organism. Nowadays, we do have the toxoid specifically for that. So it is something that we could give a booster for if you're cautious about the other organism. But it is something that we would recommend everyone in every 10 years to get. And if you don't remember it, it's all right. But if you're around those high environments, let your doctor know. They could be more cautious about it and give you more information about whether you should be updated on tetanus.
As someone who goes to a lot of lakes, I think it's very important because you never know what you're going to step on. Now, this question, Dr. Rye, is something that's going through the minds of a lot of people in my age group right now. With the measles spreading around and the skepticism about what we've heard about the measles vaccine itself, which we all know has been debunked so many times, and you and I have discussed this many times and debunked that it's very safe, it's very effective. But for people like me that got this vaccine, I'm not going to say how long ago, what do we do now? Is this vaccine good for our lifetime? Does it wane over the span of our life? What do we do about that?
Well, for the measles, it's a little bit trickier. The reason why this is becoming more in the news is essentially some cases, particularly in the UK and some other area, I think another one was Australia, where they found out that unvaccinated individuals tend to pass this sort of organism around. And that's particularly the cases we see are patients who have not been vaccinated at all. Particularly in this area. Usually I'd say if you're in an area where you have measles cases that are around you, or if the CDC says, hey, watch out, there are measles in certain areas, I would talk to your doctor. I think definitely getting an immunization, a booster for that is reasonable. The other thing you can do is talk to your doctor to see if you do have the immunity for it. There are ways we could test for particularly measles, mumps, rubella. There are titers we could run. We could see if your body is reacting well to it, has the antibodies to react to the measles. And it is something that can be easily done in the office just to give you more peace of mind if you definitely want the vaccine or not. But generally, it is a very safe vaccine. It's been proven to be quite effective. And thanks to it, actually, this, a lot of the cases, in fact, I've never seen any measles case at all. And even in my training at all, thanks to the vaccine.
This is really important information. And I remember as a kid and people that are in my age group, we had a little mark on our arm, a little round circle. And I'm not sure whether that was TB or polio or smallpox or one of those, but it was a little circle that a lot of us have that the younger folks like yourself, luckily, don't have, because I think those were ones we eradicated, which takes us to the main point of this discussion today is some of these diseases are difficult to deal with, but not difficult to prevent. And so that's the most important message here today. But now, some of us are still wondering about COVID, Dr. Rye. What's going on with that? There was a new strain that we heard about. Do we worry? Is it mild? What's going on?
That's a good question. So the COVID's been in the news quite a bit. And I agree, prevention is the best cure. I would say prevention is better than cure, if anything. And when it comes to the COVID, the best thing to do, honestly, is practice good hygiene, have essentially good manners, just monitor your surroundings. There is a new strain out. I believe it was first isolated in January. I think a newer strain out is now in May as well. But right now, we still don't know much about it. What we do know is it is not causing as much effect as the prior strains, let's say like 4 or 5 years ago, give or take, or maybe even later than that. So it is not causing a ton of hospitalizations. Nonetheless, when it comes to the vaccination, I would recommend talking to your doctor if it's a good fit for you. Generally, the vaccination, people tend to be a bit cautious just because it was brought on too quickly. There was a lot of pressure on this kind of vaccine on everyone, honestly. But it is something that we want our patients to have a shared decision-making with their doctor. It is something that I would recommend for patients who are immunocompromised, if their immune system is not working well, if they have a kidney transplant or any kind of organ transplant. That tends to kind of decrease your immune system. If you have any lung problems, anything that of concern, talk to your doctor and we could see if it is a good fit for you. Generally for patients who are healthy, young, have less problems, it's not something that I would say it's something you need right away. It's definitely, we would say if you want it, you can have it, but I wouldn't recommend it just because you have a good immune system. You're generally healthy. You eat healthy. These are simple things we could do to our body to help not only boost our immune system, but to also help protect against not just these kind of viruses, any kind of viruses we have in essentially during the season. So practicing good eating habits, less stress, these are ways to help your immune system in general. But it is something that I would say talk to your doctor about. If you're a little bit older, if you have a lot of medical problems, you're taking medications, if your immune system's not what it used to be, I would say, sure, talk to your doctor. I think this vaccine could be a good fit because it gives you a good boost. But it is something that I wouldn't push on everyone, but it's something I would inform. And it is something that you should talk to your doctor about because these vaccines are something that we would always say is a shared decision-making process.
Well, it certainly is a shared decision-making process. Now, again, back to people in my age group, and I'm in my 60s, just barely there. How do we check our vaccine records? I mean, for some of us, the old paper records are all that we have. Maybe we don't have any of those. Maybe our old doctors had them and their offices have long since closed. But for now, in our adult vaccines, I mean, do we worry about that or even think about what we had as a child? We just kind of assume it was all on board because everybody did that. How do we check our vaccine records now, Dr. Rye? What are we supposed to be looking for or asking our doctors?
That's a little bit trickier. Like you mentioned, the paper records are all they had back in the day. I remember still, I think I still had my paper record when I was a kid as well. So it is something that is reasonable to have if you're lucky to have it. Thankfully, we have electronic ways to actually get that. And there are some vaccines we could test for, like measles, mumps, rubella, varicella. These are some of the titers we could test for to see if you have the immunity towards it. The other ones tend to be a little bit more trickier. If you do have a paper record, that's great. That's more information. Give it to your doctor. The more you have it electronically, the more it could be saved and passed on. Thankfully, in California, they do have a system called the CARE, which is the California Immunization Registry. So it is something that nowadays people are being more aware of and putting vaccines that have been done anywhere into that sort of registry. And it becomes easier for me as a doctor to kind of look up, okay, what vaccines have you had? Have you not had? And we could talk about which vaccines we could catch up on if we need to. So that's been a great help when it comes to seeing if patients need vaccines, if they've been vaccinated properly. Right now, technology has come a long way where we could actually test for a lot of these. And thankfully, if you do have any questions about it, we could definitely talk to your doctor about it. Some of these vaccines are okay to get, even if you're questioning whether you've had it or not.
That's really great to know. And you are just such an awesome guest, as always. As we wrap up, I'd like you to let other providers know how they can help address these questions that we've asked you today and any myths or hesitancies that you've seen in your practice that adults are asking you, Dr. Rye, when you're seeing them for a primary care visit and you're saying, well, I recommend that maybe you get your shingles vaccine or your pneumonia vaccine, and questions that they have. Give us a great summary and your best advice.
That's a big, long conversation, definitely. And I would tell any provider, talk to your patient, have good rapport, understand where they're coming from, because these days, especially since COVID came out, there's been a lot of hesitancy, there's a lot of questioning, and it's okay to have a healthy set of caution, especially with these kind of questions. Vaccines are important. You're getting something injected into your body. You need to know what's going on. You know what it is. What are the risks? I think it's important to have those conversations. Talk to your patients about the risks, the benefits, the alternatives. And even if they refuse to take it, work with them and say, hey, do some more research. If you're in questions, we can work with you on it. It's good to have a report. More often than not, many, I wouldn't say a lot, but some physicians have to want to push vaccines out just because they think it's a good way to just get it done and without thinking about the patient. A lot of the hesitancy I've seen in my clinic is since the COVID vaccine came out, a lot of these cases of what they call pericarditis or myocarditis, where inflammation on the heart occurs due to it, they felt they weren't informed enough about it. And some of them did suffer from these side effects. And nowadays, they have some regret and they're questioning a lot about these vaccines these days. And it's important to walk them through it and help them understand that it's true. We did not know much about it till these cases start coming out, clots. And these are some side effects that we weren't aware of. And in a certain part, I would say it is the way that this was administered or the way this was taken about. It was a little bit flawed, I would say. But nonetheless, it is something important to work with your patient, talk to them. It's easy to get angry when patients say they don't want a vaccine you know works, but it's important to understand where they're coming from, make sure they're well-informed, and keep talking to them. This constant sort of reinforcement is important in every meeting, or even if they haven't had it, it's good to have a conversation and understand where they're coming from, because more often than not, we lose that insight quite quickly.
You just always are such a knowledgeable guest, Dr. Rai, and you're so personal and personable and compassionate and all of the things. So your patients are lucky to have you, and we're lucky to have you on the show so often because you just give us such great information. Thank you so much again for joining us, and you can always visit our website at henrymayo.com/medical-services/primary-care to get connected with one of our providers. You can also visit the free Henry Mayo Newhall Hospital Library at library.henrymayo.com. Until next time, that concludes this episode of It's Your Health Radio with Henry Mayo Newhall Hospital. I'm Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for joining us today.